Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org and podcasting at the santafe radio cafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. We're at facebook.com/radiocafemc and on Twitter at radiocafemc. My first guest this morning is Sandy Bryce. She's the Director of Events and Marketing for the Santa Fe Rail Yard Community Corporation. And later in the hour, we'll hear from Lois Harvey, who's at the Santa Fe Community Farm. Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Hollis. Thank you for having me.
So, Sandy, I have lived in Santa Fe since 1987, and of course I knew about the rail yard development, but I left in 2008, in September, which is just about the time that I think the rail yard was about to do its big grand opening.
It's precisely when we opened, September 2008.
Right, so I left for 3.5 years, and I visited off and on, but I didn't spend a lot of time checking things out, you know, and I came back last April, and voila, there's this whole new place, and all of this spectacular stuff going on. And, I mean, it's really changed the shape and face of Santa Fe in so many ways. And, you know, one of the things I didn't catch on to through all of the development is how the Rail Yard Community Corporation really works, what it does. Mm-hmm. It's not a typical public-private enterprise thing. So before we delve into the events of the summer, would you kind of tell me how that works?
Oh, sure. And we get asked this question all the time. The Santa Fe Rail Yard Community Corporation is a corporation created on behalf of the community. We are not a for-profit commercial real estate company. We were formed after the master plan for the rail yard was approved, and that was, as you may remember, because you were here before, 15 years or so of community planning and discussion and so forth of what did the people of Santa Fe want the rail yard to be. Had they not intervened, Atchison-Topeka, the railroad company, was in the process of developing the land commercially, and there was going to be a big hotel and shopping center there with all the tracks pulled out. So the people of Santa Fe said, oh no, we don't know exactly what we want, but we don't want that.
We want our choo-choo.
Exactly. And who knew at the time, there was only little Santa Fe Southern with their excursion trains, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, which is charming. But who knew at the time that years later we would have the Railrunner Commuter Service from Albuquerque? And can you imagine if they'd torn the tracks out? We wouldn't have that wonderful commuter train coming right into the historic depot. So that all happened prior in the planning, and the master plan was created finally. The citizens of Santa Fe had a number of criteria. They wanted to keep a certain number of tracks for future rail service, potentially. They wanted 4 nonprofits, legacy nonprofits, who were already there in one form or another.
And remind me, what are those four?
Those four are the farmers market, who their home was in a dirt field, which now is our 10-acre, beautiful 10-acre park, Warehouse 21, the Teen Center, Site Santa Fe, and El Museo Cultural. So the community wanted those four to stay, so that it was really a community gathering place and a place to support those nonprofits. So it's an unusual way to start a real estate development. We made very special arrangements with them, with very affordable rents, long-term leases, 90 years, so that they can then plan, raise their money to build or improve their buildings and really have a permanent home there. And as you see, they have a farmers market. Institute was formed, and they raised $3.5 million and built that spectacular hall. And they've really had an impact on farming in northern New Mexico now that they have a year-round market, a place to be.
Right. So in a way, the rail yard community, the Santa Fe Rail Yard Community Corporation.
Right.
And in a way, it's the big landlord for all of the rail yard property.
It is, exactly. So when it came time to really make the master plan become a reality, it became apparent that the city really didn't have the staff to do that. And so the Rail Yard Community Corporation was formed. We are a nonprofit. We master lease the entire project from the city. The city owns all the land. And we took over the management of the development of the real estate, the design and construction approval, and then as tenants came in, the lease management, and now the public use, which is the portion that I'm responsible for of all the public spaces. And during that time of construction, of course, there were for-profit businesses, buildings built, the Market Station, and everyone knows of now Flying Star and Second Street Brewery and Junction, the wonderful restaurants and other wonderful shops and so forth, along with the nonprofits. And it continues to be a work in process because, as you said, September 2008 is when we took the fences down, and a little something else happened in September 2008, and that was the biggest crash of the market since the Great Depression. And so the entire real estate market just came to a grinding halt. And so we've been affected the same way communities have all over the country, and starting to come back. And as people may have heard, we just recently announced our selection of a new cinema operator in the rail
yard. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. I've read several articles, but, you know, my mind is not gelled on the facts.
Right. It's so exciting. It's a and, you know, sometimes, you know, like you say in your life, sometimes the best things come when you wait for them. If you'd known 5 years ago what you know now, then you would have been glad to have waited. And we're glad that it's worked out this way. It's a wonderful company called Violet Crown. Out of Austin. It's a very special, unique cinema. It's custom designed for the rail yard. It was the only one of the four proposals that we received that actually limited itself to the footprint of the current parcel. Everybody's seen that fence around the hole in the rail yard. Well, it will be right there, and it will not go beyond that space because a lot of it will be underground. It's a beautiful, unique design. It doesn't look like any movie theater you've ever seen before. And it also will have a restaurant, bar, a very welcoming place to get together with people, whether you're going to the movie or not. Come have a drink, have dinner, or have dinner before the movie, or take your meal in. There'll be wonderful seating, top-of-the-line quality viewing.
And
experience.
How many screens? Excuse me.
There'll be 10 screens, 11 screens. 10 of them are 50-seat screens, so they're intimate theaters, but it's very high-quality, big theater experience. And then one of the theaters will be 100, or about 110, I think, seats, which also will be available for community events and for school events during the day and so forth. So we're just really excited.
And when is that expected to open?
We're hoping to break ground in September, October, assuming the whole permitting process goes smoothly. And the goal is for it to be open to the public in the late fall of 2014, before the holiday season when all the big movies come out.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. fabulous. And there's also some sort of deal about parking that will make parking more affordable with the
yes,
cinema?
Yes. It was a request actually by all of the proposed cinema developers, not just this one, that free parking be provided for patrons. So we're working on an arrangement with the city right now whereby that could take place, 4 hours of free parking for patrons.
Mm-hmm. So you could go to the movies and not pay for parking, and that would help overall,
gives you
I guess.
Time for dinner and the movie. Right. And then, you know, if you end up staying for a long time and doing something else and
patronizing other businesses
whatever,
in the area, going to site.
Maybe you have another hour or two of parking, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and there's the bowling alley. Is that going to open sooner?
Yes,
yay.
It's going to open this summer. Now, Hollis, we say bowling lounge now.
Bowling lounge.
Bowling lounge. It's not your father's bowling alley.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really going to be so cool. It's upstairs above Flying Star. I'm told,
upstairs.
I'm told that they use new materials now in these bowling lounges, lighter weight, less noisy, mm-hmm. and so forth, because there are many other activities. There's a big sports screen, there's restaurant bar, there's a children's area. It'll be great for birthday parties during the day, very family-oriented, and then, you know, great for teens or for every ages, adults and so forth, in the evening. I think they'll have pool tables, foosball games, and all kinds of things to do there.
And when's that supposed to open?
They're going to be opening. We don't have a date yet, but it's a little later this summer. They're well under construction.
Wow.
They're well underway.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm really excited. I can't bowl at all. I'm really bad at it. One of the last times I bowled, it was like a cartoon. I took my stance, and I did my 1, 2, 3 steps, and I threw the ball, and the ball failed to leave my hand. It
oh, that's happened
on
to
my
me.
Fingers, and I fell flat on my sternum. And as I was laying there, you know, kind of feeling my body, am I okay? Am I going to live through this? I heard all this raucous noise, and it was the laughter of everyone else in the bowling alley.
But you see, that's the fun of having a bowling lounge.
Exactly.
We'll be looking for you, Hollis.
Maybe they'll have video, so they can videotape those of us who are not so light on our feet when we're bowling.
Right.
So, I don't want to get too far into this without talking about all the activities that are going on at the rail yard this summer. But first, I have to say that I have become a real fan of coming to the rail yard on Sundays and going to the artist market.
Yes.
That's in the farmers art market building.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every time I go, I feel like I make a new friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are people who live and work in the community.
Exactly.
And I mean, for example, I just have to tell you one story. I went a couple weeks ago and I bought a t-shirt from Susan Claire Johnson. Really nice woman. And, you know, I took it home and gave it to my friend and it was the wrong size. So I waited. I went back the next week. You know, I took it to her. We'd had a lovely conversation. And she said, well, I'll just make you another one in a bigger size.
Uh-huh.
So then I was just planning to go back and pick it up. She calls me on the phone and says, you want to come by my house? Do you need it really soon for a gift?
Oh.
It's like, you know, this doesn't happen. And, you know.
It doesn't.
This is Santa Fe. It's our community. These are our friends. And it's really, you know, that's what's so cool about this area is that we get to, you know, come down and hang out with people we know and make new friends.
Yes, and we know that about Santa Fe.
Yeah.
You know, I have a house guest just this week who's moving here from New York, and the first thing she said, first day, I mean, she'd made five friends just sort of walking around having breakfast and how welcoming people here. And so we know that, and the rail yard is very much an expression of what Santa Fe is all about. It was intended to be a community gathering center for the people of Santa Fe. We welcome visitors, of course, and visitors find us and feel like they found the inside Santa Fe.
Yeah. Know?
But it really was intended to be that place where people meet their neighbors, where they have those kind of exchanges that you had, and also diversity of experiences, and where there's nonprofit, there's for-profit, where it's really a mix. It's not a typical commercial real estate development. Now that takes time.
Yeah.
You know, when we opened, everybody was trying to get their buildings finished and get their own business started, and it has taken time to learn how to use a really complicated space.
Right.
A PS with railroad tracks running right through the middle of it and trains on a very regular basis.
Well, let's move on. I don't want to stop you, but let's move on to talk about some of the events, because there's a lot going on at the rail yard this summer, and most of it's free, right?
Oh, yes, yes. 13 acres of the 40 acres of the North Rail Yard is under what's called a conservation easement, and that's because an organization called Trust for Public Land helped the city of Santa Fe buy all that land at an affordable price. And so the trade is that 13 acres of it are preserved for the public in perpetuity and to be open and available to the public. So that includes our beautiful 10-acre park, our award-winning park, and the other 3 acres are our rail yard plaza where the water tower is, and the other pocket parks, the shade structure, the hike and bike trail. So there are a lot of uses. I like to say rail yard plaza. We say the plaza for shorthand, but so we don't confuse it with the downtown historic plaza. But we're really trying to ask people to think, to visually see in their mind the two plazas, the downtown plaza and the rail yard plaza, and sort of visualize a line between them. They're not that far apart, and they really are the two now major gathering places for Santa Fe. And so on our rail yard plaza, this summer, we're extending the free summer concert series. And we've already had a couple of wonderful concerts. Paper Bird is going to be here this Sunday. D Numbers, which is a local huge favorite, Saturday, June 29th. The Silent Comedy, June 30th. And then later in the summer, Big Sandy and his Flyright Boys. Guy Forsyth from Austin, who's a lot of people really love. And then Minus the Bear. And Frightened Rabbit down in October.
Are those concerts all on the same day? Are these a recurring event, sort of?
This is from June through October. These are individual. No, you're asking.
Different days of the week.
Some are Sundays, okay. Some are Saturdays.
And these, but they're free.
They are free. These particular, the summer concert series, is produced by Heath Concerts. And so you'll see Heath Concerts posters all over town with the concert series. And you can go to their website. Or also to railyardsantafe.com, which is our website, which not only has the concert series, but all of the other activities, the tenants, the train schedules, anything that you want to know about the rail yard. Now, there are other things happening on the plaza, too. They're kind of one singular events. Make Music Manana is happening this month, June 22nd, which is being put on by the Santa Fe Music Alliance. A lot of great local bands. And a number of things later in September, the AHA Festival, which is a wonderful contemporary art and music all-day festival that takes place there on the plaza, with the farmers' trucks move out on Saturday, and then the artists come in and build galleries that shade structure. So each one is a separate art gallery, and then it's set up for the Sunday, the day after. So if people go to our website, they'll find the dates on the calendar, railyardsantafe.com, for all these things. As well, of course, we've got a movie series now in the park.
Yeah, that's one of the best things for families to do, right?
It is. It's such, and I'll tell you our lineup. It's a wonderful family film lineup.
What
we start
night
Friday
is that?
Night. We
this
start
Friday.
This Friday, June 7th, and we go every other Friday throughout the summer till August 30th. So we start with Despicable Me this Friday night, which I'm really excited about seeing. Sound of Music. Everybody gets to come and sing along with Julie Andrews. Apollo 13, which is just one of the all-time great, true American adventure stories. Lady and the Tramp. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And there are our cool movie. We always pick a cool movie for the older crowd is Stop Making Sense. Which is going to be done in August. And then Rise of the Guardians will close out on August 30th.
So you've got a criteria that means that you only schedule in movies that are really family-friendly and good for kids, really, of any age.
They really are.
Right.
They
you can
really
bring are. Your kids. In
this concert series. Now, we do have a couple of other standalone individual movies, which are more targeted. Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, for the first time, is going to do a kind of a promotional film event in July 13th, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And are these in the Farmers Market building?
No, what? In the park.
Oh, in the park.
Yes,
yes. Got it.
In the park on the performance screen. So that sloped green lawn.
Yes.
We bring in a big blow-up movie screen, digital projection. You bring your blanket. You bring a picnic. We also have a lovely food vendor. Boys and Girls Club will be there with snacks and popcorn and that kind of thing. And every other Friday night in the park. And then we will have a couple of additional standalone films, as I say, Rocky Horror Picture Show on July 13th with the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, with the actors and calling back to the screen, the whole thing. And for the first time, we're thrilled Swaya is going to show their Native American Showcase film in the park on Indian Market Weekend, which is a zombie movie. So that'll be a little different crowd, you know. As a park.
Wait, go back. A Native American zombie movie?
It's a Native American zombie movie made by a wonderful Native American filmmaker.
Okay.
So I expect Indian Market Weekend, if you see in the news that zombies were seen walking through Rail Yard Park,
You'll know why.
I
want to ask you one more thing. You know, people do say, oh my God, the parking, parking is a problem down there. Or I know when I drive by and I'm thinking I'll stop into the farmer's market and I see all those people in cars, sometimes I'm deterred.
Right.
Talk to me about the parking.
Okay. Well, because we have so much parking, but a lot of it's invisible. And it's surprising me, but a lot of people still don't know that we have a very large parking garage underground, 400 underground spaces. And there's a big public parking sign over it. It's just north of REI. So you can get to it two ways, either
from Paseo up Camino de las Familias.
Camino de las Familias, yes. Or Guadalupe and turn there at the Barker building, the Gross Kelly building at Manhattan. Either way will take you to the parking structure. It's underground, so you can keep your car cool in the summer or warm in the winter, and you come up right in the middle of the rail yard in the elevator. Other than that, there are over 500 spaces on the surface. You know, the rail yard was deliberately developed to be a pedestrian center. It was developed differently from a commercial real estate shopping mall where you pull up in front of the nail place or wherever you're going. You just go there and you go home. The intention was to get people to park their cars and leave them and walk a little ways so that they can run into their friends and neighbors, so that they can see the other things, so that they can drop into shops, have a coffee, have lunch, go to the farmer's market, go down to the park, and really experience the whole project. So I think the more offerings that there are, multiple things for people to do, the more that they'll realize that was intentional.
Mm-hmm. And what's your favorite thing to do down at the rail yard? I mean, you work there, right?
So I do. So
do you
I'm
leave
there
on the weekends?
Well, I'm there a lot on the weekends because it's part of my job to be there and supervise and make sure that things go smoothly. I mean, it just makes me, you know, I feel like I've got the best job in town because my job makes me so happy. It makes me so happy to go to the farmer's market and see a wonderful little child musician playing the violin, you know, or talk with a lavender lady, or you know, have Matt cook you up some of his best potatoes with garlic, and see people that you know from all over town. But I love going to the movies at night to see the full moon rising and everybody out in their blankets and watching a movie, and then the rail runner go by and everybody stands up and watches and waves at the drain.
Oh, how
it's
cute!
It's magical. It's just magical.
Uh-huh.
But there are too many things to tell. When we have salsa music on the plaza at the water tower, all of a sudden all the salsa dancers appear. You know, they just pop up like mushrooms in the woods. Poop, they're there. And they weren't there the night before, and you're looking at just the best salsa dancers in town.
Uh-huh.
And then they disappear, and then it's something else entirely the next day.
So, real quickly, run down for me the recurring events that are at the Rail Yard. For those people who, you know, live slightly out of town or way down on the south side, don't get into town all, you know, into the downtown area all the time.
Right. Well, the basic fundamental events on Saturday is very active. The farmer's market, summer hours have just started, 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Saturday. They also have a Tuesday market, which is somewhat smaller. Saturday market's quite large. And at the same time, as the farmer's market, across the street in the park is the Santa Fe Artist Market. So those white tents that you see going down in the park, beautiful work of local artists of all kinds. Now, the Artisans Market, the New Mexico Artisans Market you mentioned, is yet another artist market, which is on Sundays inside the farmer's market hall. So those are recurring Saturday and Sunday every single weekend.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more going on at the Rail Yard. You can find out by going to the Rail Yard's website, railyardsantafe.com, to find out about all those fabulous free concerts and movies and events this summer. Thank you, Sandy Bryce, for being with me this morning. We're going to take a little break. Please stay tuned to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Hollis Walker sitting in for Mary Charlotte. We're back on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe with another guest, Lois Harvey. Lois is the volunteer coordinator for the Santa Fe Community Farm. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We had such a great conversation the other day. I want to share most of that, if we can, in the time we have with the listening audience. I didn't know much about the Santa Fe Community Farm. I would drive by that little sign down off Agua Fria and see Santa Fe Community Farm and think, what is that? So I'm sure there are others out there like me. Would you tell us a little bit about the history of the farm and what it does?
Certainly. The farm has been around 60 years. It was started by John Stevenson and his family. John is actually still alive. He's 98 years old, and he lives on the property in the big house. His son.
Wow, I got to stop you there. What a testament to community farming.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. He is spry and still very active. And his son lives next door and now is the spokesperson for the farm. And every so often we get John out on the golf cart and we get him driving around in the cart and he gets to see what's going on. And he's always very excited to see that the land is still being worked. But the history is he came back from the war 60 years ago, and him and his wife realized that it was really important to take care of the community and the people living in the area, and that they wanted to give back because he was so fortunate to make it through the war. And he came back, and they started growing, and now they had always given all their food away to the needy. And to this day, 80% of all that food that we grow on the farm is donated to the needy.
And how does that work exactly?
How that works is every day when we do our harvesting, we bring most of our food over to the food depot. We have a very close connection with the depot, and they take on our food and they distribute it to over 120 different organizations around northern New Mexico. And we are one of the major producers of organic produce so that these folks can get a hold of fresh produce in their bags.
Right. So organizations like Kitchen Angels, maybe?
Yes, Kitchen Angels, Salvation Army. There's a whole list of them all over New Mexico.
And so Food Depot distributes your produce through that. And how big is the farm?
The farm has 12 working acres.
And what are you growing this year?
Well, we have lots of things planned, but right now we've got lots of onions and garlic in the ground that are doing really well, broccoli and cauliflower. We've got our carrots coming up, beets, radishes. We've got all kinds of kale, spinach, and greens coming up. We're growing some wonderful lavender and basil. And right now we're putting tomatoes and chilies and corn. They're about to get planted into the ground. So we do a little bit of everything.
I'm salivating at the idea of all those fabulous fresh vegetables. So tell me how the farm operates. I understand it's entirely run, not run necessarily, but the work is actually done by volunteers.
It is. We are a volunteer-run nonprofit. We're a 501(c). We are always looking to recruit volunteers for the farm, not only to work on the land and to plant and work in the fields, but also we're always looking for people that have other skills, administrative, clerical, people that are handymen that can maybe help us put up some shelves or fix the tractors. We are often in need of just people that have skills that if they have time and energy to come out for a little while, we're more than happy to welcome them to the community.
So you have people, you can come as a volunteer. Do you have to make a schedule and say, I'm going to come every Monday from 10 to 12, or how does that work?
You can come in on a drop-in basis. We do like to connect with people and speak with them and give them a rundown about what's going on and ask them to make a commitment for an hour or two, maybe once a week, which is helpful for us so that we can count on someone to be there to help us maybe with the project. We do have about 40 volunteers that come on and off. Right now, we are in need of more volunteers to come out because we're in the planting season, and we have a lot of crops that need to get into the ground.
This is one of the busiest times of the year other than harvest, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, and I understand you have some community groups who come and do things.
We do. We have a lot of community organizations from actually all over the United States that come in. Because of the history of the farm, we do have groups that come back every year.
From out of state?
Yes. We get a lot of college groups, teenage groups, and summer groups that come on maybe over a summer camp or a spring break. We recently had a group from Illinois that came out, of college students from the University of Illinois. They came out in March, and they were there for four days, and they were fantastic. And they worked the fields getting things prepped up in March, and they there was 20 of them. So we get groups like that. We get groups from Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, schools. We get a lot of schools that come on field trips and bring their students out. And we also get kids that just want to come out with their families. And mm-hmm. So they like to come out and work in the fields with their families as well.
Well, I imagine this is a great way for families who don't have their own vegetable gardens, don't really have the time or the space or even the money, really.
Absolutely.
It takes money to grow a garden, to come out and bring their kids and not only have fun being outside, but to have their children learn about where your food comes from.
Absolutely.
And how hard it is, this work that farmers do to grow our food. And also, I imagine that for somebody who might have had a garden in the past but doesn't know a lot about organic farming, there are a lot of opportunities to learn.
Yeah, we are an educational base as well. We are working closely with the Santa Fe Community College to create an educational forum where we would be the outdoor classroom for them for a lot of their sustainable agriculture classes. And we are in the midst of creating that right now. There's a lot of interest at the college and with some of the administrators over there to create a bond between the farm and the school. We do a lot of education. We have courses over there. We have classes. We work with Homegrown New Mexico. We've had some of their seed classes that they put on presented at the farm, and we do some cooking classes. I did a cooking class outside on the grill just this past Sunday.
What did you make?
We made a couple things. We talked about making grilled radishes, which is a really easy thing. It brings out the sweetness and the mellowness of the radishes so they're not so sharp. We did a grilled romaine salad with a buttermilk dressing that we made, and then we made a pasta with sautéed greens and a pecorino romano cheese. So we did several different recipes. It was really great, and we sat outside and had our lunch.
Lois, are you going to call me next time you're cooking?
Absolutely.
That sounded great.
Yeah, and we have a great space. It's actually a beautiful farm. When people come out there, I think they see the beauty of the land. The heritage and the history is really a rich culture. It's in the old town of Agua Fria. It's right off of Siler and Agua, well, not Siler, but south of Siler. And across from the Agua Fria School, there, if you go down the riverbed and you get across the riverbed, you'll see this big green space. And the land is very rich. We have beautiful soil. It's been worked for a long time now, so the soil has really been worked. And it's just a nice place to come and visit. A lot of people just want to come and sit under the trees and paint, or sit under the trees and read. I mean, it's an open community. We keep it open for people to come visit, come say hello. And if they want to lend a hand, we are really welcoming to having them lend a hand.
You know, before we forget, I want to make sure everybody's got your website address so people can go check out some more information.
Absolutely. What is that? Absolutely. It's santafecommunityfarm.org.
I'm talking with Lois Harvey, who is the volunteer coordinator for the Santa Fe Community Farm. And one of the things we've been talking about is the need for more volunteers because it's planting time out there at the farm. And so I guess it sounds like, Lois, that I could just drop by the farm, drive over and walk around and look and see if it appealed to my sense of volunteerism and my desire to be outside and do something for the community, and then get on the schedule or call you.
Yes, and people can call me and I can put them on our schedule. We do like to get some names and phone numbers so we can contact people and just remind them that we have things going on and when to come down and work with us.
Yeah, and when they come down, no big deal. You bring a hat, you bring sunscreen, you wear your long sleeve shirt and your tennies
bottle.
Or your work boot and a water bottle. And your lunch, your brown bag lunch, right?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
That's great. Well, there's some other things I want to know about the farm. And one is, how is the drought affecting it?
Well, we could definitely use some rain. We're praying for rain. We've always had a lot of water at the farm. We've got some really deep wells that are running the farm. I think there's three wells that run the property, but one of them is running pretty dry. So we are on two wells right now. Pressure's getting low. We're limiting. We have actually reworked a lot of our lines and our irrigation this year to be more feasible and to save water. And we're hoping that we'll have enough water to feed the farm. But we are limiting things right now. We're not watering as much as we have in the past.
And you water by drip irrigation, not by flood irrigation.
Correct.
Right.
We
so that's
drip.
A very efficient way to water.
Correct.
Really the most. You know, I forgot something about the volunteers. And so you said that volunteers actually, at the end of the season, get to harvest or they get to take home some things?
Yeah.
That 20% you were talking about before?
We actually, we don't necessarily give away food. If people want to take some food, you know, they're just asked to write it down and we'll give them enough for a meal or two. We don't give out free food. We do have a farm stand that we do on Sundays that will start next month when we start harvesting. Sundays from 11 to 4, we have a farm stand on the property at the farm where you can come and get organic vegetables at a very reduced price. They're half of what you would, you know, pay at the farmer's market. So really lovely. You can pick out your veggies. But if people need food, we're always willing to, you know, give them a handout.
But if we come by at the farm stand, then that money goes back into the farm itself, right?
Correct.
Right, and helps to reload, so
right.
to speak. And then you do have a sponsorship program where people can become a sponsor for a monetary donation where they sponsor a row, and there are different levels of sponsorship, right? And that's another way that people can give to the farm, and those people, there is some tie to at harvest season, you offer them
correct
a box of food in accordance with their donation
correct.
Level. And then, but the material on the website suggests that, gee, it would be really nice if you went ahead and donated it back to the food depot.
That's a personal choice. People can take home a box of food at the end of the season for their donation, or they can donate it back.
Yeah.
That's up to them.
Yeah. And there was something else about that donation that we talked about, but it slips my mind at the moment.
Well, we did just promote, we're promoting a new fundraiser, as you mentioned. It's called the Adopt a Row Program. We are trying to market that to businesses and individuals.
Oh.
So if there's businesses out there that are interested in supporting the community farm, what we're doing is they get to pick which vegetable row they want to sponsor.
I want radishes.
There you go. And we'll put their name. And we'll put their name and a picture of their product onto the row and post it out there. And then at the end of the season, we take pictures and we send pictures of how their babies are doing over the course of the season. And they get to see how they can come out and work that row if they'd like. They're welcome to come work on it, or we will work it for them. And then at the end of the season, they get a box of their harvest.
Fabulous. So, you know, I imagine that this work that you do at the Santa Fe Community Farm is actually more important than ever before, because hunger is really increasing in Santa Fe.
It is. Statistics show that about 20% of the population lives at a poverty level. And
20%?
Yeah, it's 18.4%. And a lot of these people are on subsidies, but a lot of these people are not, and they're missing meals. And so the food we work really closely with Food Depot, which is providing the food for these people. And unfortunately, it hasn't gotten any better. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are in need. And so we are helping to subsidize by bringing in that local produce.
Yeah, growing that wonderful organic local produce.
Absolutely.
At the Santa Fe Community Farm. Also, I think you have a fundraiser event of some kind coming up at Whole Foods. Is that right?
We do. We're really excited. We were nominated as the organization to receive 5% of the profits from Whole Foods on July 24th, which is a Wednesday. And we will be out at Whole Foods at both locations. And we will be talking about the community farm and what we do. And encouraging people to come do their shopping on that day so that they can increase our donation to the farm.
So we can go circle that date on our calendars and remember to do, if we shop at Whole Foods, to do our shopping on that
day.
So some of the money goes to the Santa Fe Community Farm.
Absolutely. Wednesday, July 24th.
I want to talk a little more personally now, Lois. Tell me how you got involved with the community farm.
You know, it's a neat story, actually. I moved to Santa Fe a year ago from Albuquerque. My family was in Albuquerque. I'm originally from Boston. And I'm a single mom with a 17-year-old daughter who was actually going to school in Santa Fe and was commuting. And we were having a lot of stress with traveling and going back and forth to school, and my daughter was very frustrated. So I decided to come out to Santa Fe and pack everything and sell half of my things and move out here with my daughter. And when I got here, I didn't have a job. I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't know a whole lot about Santa Fe, except I had come to visit and go see the art galleries and eat when I had, you know, weekends free. And I started looking for ways to get involved in the community because I did not have a full-time job yet. And I started looking for volunteer organizations. And the truth is that Santa Fe has more nonprofit organizations than anywhere in the country. And I just knew that I didn't have a garden anymore, and I really missed working in the fields and working in the dirt. And so I contacted a couple places, and I figured the first place that contacted me and said, "We need you," I would go to, and it was the community farm. And Linda Marple, the executive director, invited me down, and I started putting my hands in the dirt again. And I realized how therapeutic that was for me. And I was really kind of going through a depression during that time. I didn't really know where I fit in and what I was going to do. And my daughter and I were really having some battles. As you know, teenagers can be really difficult. So that became my therapy. I started going to the farm on a daily basis and spending a couple hours out in the sunshine in the dirt. And I realized, you know, this is healing. This is really wonderful to be out here in the sunshine in the dirt. And I met some really wonderful people that I started talking to while we were in the fields. And there were some neat ladies that I started chatting with, and we became friends. And I thought, this is neat. This is a community farm. This is a place for people to come together. I like this. And then I became addicted, and I decided it was important for me to stay involved.
A dirt addict. You're just a dirt addict.
Yeah. Home with, you know, dirt all over your face and hands and your feet, and it just feels great.
Now, did your daughter ever get involved in going to the farm, too?
She actually is now interested. She has several friends that decided they're going to come out this summer and volunteer, but she's only been out there one time, and she hasn't shown a big interest in it, but she says she's happy for me that I found a place to come and give my time.
Well, that's really healthy. I mean, when I was 17, there was nothing I wanted to do with my parents, no matter how wonderful it was. So, yeah, there is something about that. I have a small garden plot myself, and, you know, we've planted both seedlings and little seeds and go out and look every morning, and I'm just so excited when things come up. You know, it reconnects us with nature and with just the miracle of how does that happen? How does that happen? You know, we can put the seed in the ground, we can fertilize it, we can put water on it, we can do all the right things, but what is that spark that makes this seed grow and that seed not? You know, it's one of the great mysteries of life, and it's just so enriching and gratifying to watch it happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so talk to me about families coming out. How does that work?
Well, we love to have families. I think that the farm is a perfect place for young people, old people, no matter how old, you know, whatever age level. But it's a good place to connect. And we have a lot of parents come out with their children, and they work together in the fields, and it's a real bonding experience.
Now, do you have to be really strong or physically fit to do this?
No, not at all. We have people with all skill levels, ages, and abilities. If there's something that is too hard for them to do, we always find another job for them. We want it to be feasible for them.
So not only making rows or planting or weeding or whatever, but there are other jobs that you can do?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we just need to organize our tool shed and put things in place, or we need to clean up the sinks and organize the trays. You know, we have these big black buckets where we put the food. Sometimes we just need someone to rinse those down and put them away. And sometimes we just need to do some cleanup and put, you know, organize stuff. So there's something for everybody.
Do you have big compost heaps out there?
We do. We have three pit compost heaps that are in the pits, and right now we're doing some above-the-ground composting. And we actually are looking for people to help with our compost. So if there's anyone that knows about compost and wants to help on that committee, we do have a composting committee, and we'd love for them to come out and lend a hand.
You know, that is a resume builder. Volunteered on compost committee for the Santa Fe Community
Farm. Absolutely.
So are there other committees like that?
We have an orchard out there, too. There's about 40 or 50 trees, fruit trees. And last year, we had an abundance of apples and apricots and cherries, and it was beautiful. Of course, this year, we had that early freeze, and we lost a lot of the blossoms. So it doesn't look like we're getting any fruit this year.
Wow.
Which is a shame. But we need people who know about trees, and if they're interested in coming to help us prune. We would love some people who know about trees and pruning to help us. And we also have a committee that works for the farm stands. So I have several people that like to come out on Sundays that want to help sell our produce on Sundays. And I have a long list of people that want to get involved, but we're going to take turns this year so I don't have to do it all myself.
You mean who want to get involved in the staffing the farm booth?
Right. Uh-huh. We need people to come out early and set it up, bring out the produce, bring it out, display it, put out our signs. And then take the money.
So it sounds like there are a lot of different opportunities of things to do.
There are.
The farm.
And we also need people to help with marketing, passing out flyers, posting events for us. As the volunteer coordinator, I myself am am doing a lot of PR and marketing, and I could use some assistance with that if anyone's interested in sending out, helping send out emails or helping us with our website. It would be helpful.
Yeah, so somebody like a total rube like me can come out and you'll teach me how to dig a hole and put seeds in it.
Yep.
Or I could come out and say, hey, I want to help you with my blah blah expertise, my marketing expertise.
Absolutely.
Or my composting expertise or my drip irrigation expertise.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. Yeah, just thinking about the drip irrigation lines you must have to maintain is kind of mind-boggling.
It is. We just had a meeting the other day, and we're going to have someone in charge of water, the water committee.
Another water committee.
So that someone is checking our lines on a regular basis, fixing leaks, making sure the water's getting turned on, the timers are working, and things are getting watered regularly. We've had some issues with that, and so we're working on keeping that on track.
Right. It's really a different sort of volunteer organization. You know, so many volunteer organizations or things you get involved in are very much a matter of committees. You know, and at one point in my life, I finally said, I don't want to sit on any more boards where people sit around and argue about, you know, political issues or, you know what I mean, the inner workings of an organization. I want to do something that helps people directly, you know, and the Santa Fe Community Farm sounds like a great way to do that.
Also kind of a
low stress way to do that.
It is low stress.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really busy this season. You know, we work hard. A farm is hard work. So people are out there in the sun, sweating, and it's manual labor for some people. But like I said, if you're not into manual labor, we can certainly find another opportunity for you to volunteer in another area. But, you know, it's neat when harvest comes and you get to see what has been produced over the season. It's amazing. We produced about 26,000 pounds of food and donated it to the depot last year. That was a tremendous effort for a new team of volunteers and a new director who last year was her first year running the farm, and she did a wonderful job, and I wanted to commend Linda Marple for the work she's done with the farm. And she's working very hard, and so my job here is to really let people know what we're up to, why we're doing it, and encourage people to come out to the farm and lend a hand, but also to make a difference, because our job is to help end hunger in New Mexico. And northern New Mexico has a very high rate of homelessness, poverty, and issues with getting fed. And so we want to make sure these people are getting their needs met.
Thank you so much, Lois Harvey, for being with me today. I really appreciate it. And your website is, again?
SantaFeCommunityFarm.org.
Wonderful. Yeah, Lois Harvey is the volunteer coordinator at the Santa Fe Community Farm. You can go out there and check it out off of Lower Agua Fria. And go volunteer. There's a euphemism you have for weeding.
The euphemism is
Soil enrichment. Yeah, you can go do some soil enrichment for the fabulous Santa Fe Community Farm. Again, thanks so much.
Thank you, Hollis.
You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker. I've been sitting in for Mary Charlotte today.